Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew explains how to trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to begin a brand new series, and this is going to be a little bit of a departure for me. You know, primarily, all I do is teach the Word of God, just straight teaching from the Word, and I make comments on our society and on different things like that. And so, you know, I try and take the truths that God has shown me and relate them to people, but it's basically just straight scriptural teaching. What I want to do for the next 2 weeks, and we're going to take a brief break on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and we're going to have some special programs on those days. But with the exception of those two programs, I am going to be teaching some truths from God's Word, but I'm going to specifically be commenting on the situation that we find ourselves in right now, not only in the United States, but all around the world. And what I'm referring to is back in the month of October, of course, the stock market tanked. All of these banks began to fail. The federal government stepped in. And this isn't only true in the United States, but around the world. In the month of October, I went on a tour of England and Holland and Russia. And in every one of those places, every single place, they were talking about the economic worldwide crisis. And typically, I don't comment on stuff like this, but there's some things about this that, you know, I hope you will indulge me, but it just really agitated me. It really made me angry the way that people were talking about this. And to a degree, I can give a pass to the unbelievers because the unbelievers don't know any better and they don't have the Word of God. But I tell you, even among Christians, Christian television, Christian ministers have been speaking about this terrible crisis, and they've been blowing and amplifying this thing, I believe, way out of proportion. At the very least, I can say this, that there have been Christians who have been terrified by this economic situation the same way that unbelievers have been terrified. And I tell you, that is wrong. There ought to be a huge difference between the way that Christians respond to this world and the way an unbeliever does. And yet when it comes to this monetary issue, there are Christians that are pushing the panic button and doing some of the exact same things that the unbelievers are doing. And so I've seen this, and I've, of course, had an opinion about it. And normally I keep my opinions on, politics or... And this isn't going to be political, the things I'm sharing, but I mean current events. I just mention things here and there. I don't do a series focusing on it. But as I've meditated about it, the Lord has given me a teaching that I've entitled, In God We Trust. And this is going to specifically deal with the situation that we find ourselves in, not only in the United States, but all around the world. People are dealing with some of these same things. And it's going to basically be a Christian response to this. How should a Christian respond? And I believe that there ought to be a huge difference between the way the Christians respond and the way that the unbelievers respond. And as I go through and share some scripture and we talk about, specifically, we're going to talk about how that Isaac sowed in a year of famine and received a hundredfold return. He went against the trend. He did things that in the natural it looked like it was foolish to do, but because of his faith in God, he had a word from God, and because he acted on that, Isaac began to prosper and received a hundredfold return in a year that nobody else had planted their crops because it was a drought. And so not only did he have this hundredfold return, but then he basically had no competition. He got the premium price for his product in the market. And because of it, he became so prosperous that in Genesis chapter 26, it says that the king Abimelech came to him and asked him to depart because this one man who trusted God and did what God told him to do was more prosperous than the entire nation. And they kicked him out. I tell you, a tremendous example of blessing and prosperity. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, now is not the time to be operating in fear. Now is not the time to be listening to the fear mongers who are distorting the truth. And you know, as I make some of these statements, I know that I'm going to infuriate some people. You know, it's not like I never do that. But it's one thing when you stand for a scripture and you stand for a doctrinal truth in the Word of God and you have people criticize you over that. But I'm going to be saying some things that are basically, I believe, attitudes that God has given me from Scripture, and I'm going to be making comments about some of the things going on in our society. Not only the American society, but like I said, I just got back from Europe, and the exact same thing is happening. The Christians are responding the same way in these other countries in fear. And I am going to be making some statements that I'm going to be criticized for things that are outside of Scripture, but I just believe that it needs to be said. You know, God has given me a platform to share the Word of God. And I may not be able to influence the unbelievers. They don't, you know, there's some, but not the majority of unbelievers watch Christian television. But man, I believe that God has just led me to use this platform to try and influence the believers not to be operating in fear, but to trust in God, even when the markets and the monetary situation is fragile and people are crying that it's a next depression. You know what? It shouldn't move us. Our faith ought to be in God. In God we trust. You know, in the United States, we have that printed on our money. And yet it's amazing how many people trust in the almighty dollar, or trust in the stock market, or trust in their 401k, or trust in all of these other things. This is a time that we need to realign ourselves and make sure that our trust is in God. And I really am excited. I believe that this teaching is going to be a help to you. Let me just read a couple of statements to you, first of all. This is a headline that was in the U.S. News and World Report. It says, "Recession starts taking toll. Will it lead to another crash?" And then one of the excerpts from that article says, "Worries are building that today's sagging economy may be on the brink of collapse." Man, that's a huge statement, that not only the U.S., but the worldwide economy could be on the brink of collapse. Here is another quote, and the headline says, "Running short of cash." And then the article says, "The United States and its allies scramble to head off a global financial disaster. Finance ministers from the United States, Britain, France, Japan, and West Germany met last week near Frankfurt to find a way to avert a global economic collapse." Now, these are dire predictions. And let me just say that this is not the worst of the predictions. During the last month or two, we have heard people liken our current financial situation to the era of the Great Depression. I've literally heard people talk about people standing in bread lines again, about people being just destitute, losing everything that they've got. And this has been blown out of proportion. Let me say something right here that I think will really help you and help you to put all of this into its proper perspective. These two quotes that I read to you from the U.S. News and World Report and also from Newsweek, they are quotations from November of 1974 and December of 1982. Now, I know that most of you watching this program thought, well, I thought that that was the current situation, because this is exactly the kind of things that is being said today. And like I said, people are comparing this to the Great Depression. But it helps to put this into perspective, to remember that we've had ups and downs before. In 1974 and in 1982, there were terrible problems in the economy. Of course, you know, again, I'm speaking from my perspective. I know that this program is being seen literally all around the world, but you know, as goes our economy, it has ripple effects that go throughout the entire world. But from my perspective, I remember back during the end of the Carter presidency and when Ronald Reagan first became president, that we had unemployment that was 10.8%. And right now, the unemployment has been around 6%, and although 6% may be higher than it's been in the last year or two, it's still a far cry from 10.8%, and yet we survived that situation. And during the beginning of the Reagan years, as he was beginning to straighten things out from this high interest rate and stuff, we had interest rate that had gone over 20% in the late 70s. And I could go on and on. It's my real forte is not to be an economist and go back through this, but I'm just pointing out that situation was much worse then as far as interest rates up to 20%. Inflation was runaway. And these quotes that I gave you, they said in 1982 that they were trying to avert a global economic collapse. And of course, those of you who are familiar with what happened, not only was a global collapse averted, but the rest of the 1980s is the largest peacetime expansion of our economy in the history of the United States. And the same thing rippled all around the world. And the 80s that started out so shaky, much shakier than what we've seen happen in the latter part of 2008, the 80s turned out to be one of the most prosperous economic booms that we've ever had. And I'm saying this to put things into perspective. You know, I'm going to be using these scriptures about Isaac sowing in a year of famine from Genesis chapter 26. But let me just go to the very first verse of Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1. And it says, "And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." Now, we're going to go on and we're going to talk about a lot of things. There's some powerful truths in these passages. But let me just make a statement that God doesn't waste words. You know, the Lord didn't put things in the Bible just to fill up space. If something is in the Scripture, there's a reason for it being in the Scripture. And look at the way that this whole thing about this famine and the prosperity of Isaac and how that he was so mighty that a king actually expelled him from his nation because this one man had more prosperity than the entire nation did. This whole thing is set up by this first verse that says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now, why do you think that was in there? Again, let me make the point that God doesn't just waste words. There's a reason that everything is in the Word. I believe, as I've meditated on this, that there is a point to this, that there is a purpose to Him pointing out that there had been a famine before. And if you are familiar with Scripture, later on, the descendants of Isaac and Jacob went into Egypt, and there was a famine in Egypt. And of course, that's what set up Joseph to be the ruler of the land. And the children of Israel went down into Egypt. And so there was a famine before this famine. There was famines after this famine. You know what I believe the real significance of this is that when you come into a hard time, when you are in a crisis situation, you need to put everything into perspective. There had been famines before. There would be famines after. People had survived the famines before the time of Isaac. And as a matter of fact, Isaac's own father, Abraham, had survived a famine. And Isaac could survive this. His descendants would be able to survive that. And let me just make some statements here. You aren't going to hear this on the news because they love to present everything as the worst case scenario because bad news sells. And, you know, I'm going to be very critical of a lot of things that are being said today. I'm not going to do it all on today's program, but throughout this series, I'm going to criticize some of the things. But I tell you, our news system today, and this is being heard all around the world, this is not only a criticism of the United States media, but it is a criticism of the media around the world. I've just been in Europe. I've heard things. You know, this is... I was in Europe, Russia, Holland, and England right before the presidential elections of 2008. And you would be amazed to hear what is being reported around the world. It is not even remotely close to the truth. Things are being reported, however, and the people over there in those countries listen to this and form opinions that I can guarantee you the average American has never heard some of these things. But you go into these other countries, and because the news media is even more liberal and more slanted than we see here in the U.S., they form an opinion based on the information that's given them. How else can you form an opinion? You are basing your opinions basically on the facts that are being presented to you, and if all you do is twist the information and not share anything that doesn't conform to your viewpoint, you can manipulate, you can change people's opinion, and this is happening. And I tell you, this is happening around the world. You aren't going to hear many people say this, but there have been worse times in the United States than what we are experiencing right now. And yet there are people that are comparing this with the Great Depression and just making outlandish statements. Let me give you some facts that you aren't going to hear on the news media. But I believe that this needs to happen, just like the scriptures are saying in Genesis chapter 26, that there had been famines before. This wasn't the first famine. It wouldn't be the last famine. It put it into the proper context to get put it into perspective. Listen to this. During the Depression era, which a lot of people have compared this financial crisis to the Depression era, listen to some of the things that were going on then. Unemployment rose to 24.75% in 1933. That was the peak. And it lasted until 1939. I think it was still 18% in 1939. In contrast to that, in August of 2008, that's the last time that I have a unemployment figure for, the unemployment rate in the U.S. was 4.4%. Now, that is a huge difference from 25% that happened during the Great Depression and that lasted for 10 years. And again, I refer you to the fact that in 1982, that the unemployment rate in the United States was 10.8%. That's nearly three times as much as what we're dealing with now. And yet people are making comparisons and saying this is worse than then. It isn't worse than then. It's not even close to being like it was before. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are systematically being misled, is probably what would be the politically correct way to state it, but it's just out and out lies. People are amplifying problems, trying to present things in the worst possible light because fear sells. Bad news sells, and it's all about the almighty dollar and people trying to get ratings and get people to tune in, and they know that they can capitalize on a crisis and use people's emotions to draw people to their network. And I tell you, we're being systematically lied to. If there is 4.4% unemployment in the U.S. right now, even if it's risen some, it's still not anywhere near the 25% of the Depression era or the 10.8% of 1982. But whatever the unemployment rate is right now, that means that there's roughly about 93 to 96% of the United States population that's employed. And I can also tell you, by dealing with a lot of people who are unemployed, that many of them are unemployed by choice. They really are. There are a lot of this 4%, 5%, whatever it is, that could be employed. And so if you look at the people who are really having a hard time right now and unemployed, and I'm not saying that that's not important. Anybody who's going through a financial situation, you know, I believe we ought to have compassion and we ought to help them. So I'm not saying that, you know, 6% or whatever is just tolerable and forget those people and let them suffer. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that it is being misrepresented that this is one of the worst crises that has ever happened. People are losing their jobs, these terrible things. There have been much worse crises in 1933, even in the 1980s. We have had higher, I remember many times that we've had 5 and 6% unemployment rate. You know, in 1929, the Dow Jones Industrial Average on the New York Stock Exchange fell from its high of 381.17 in October, and then it reached a low of 41.22. That was an 85% decline. Now, even though we've had some huge decreases or losses in the stock market, it's not even close in comparison to this. As a matter of fact, let me read this to you. This fellow, Marvin Goodfriend, who is a professor of economics at Carnegie Mellon University's Temper School of Business in Pittsburgh. He spoke on the National Public Radio, this is back in October of 2008, and he said that there is no real threat of a Great Depression. That depression lasted nearly 10 years. He sees this one turning around in just the next few months, the first few months of 2009. He said on a scale of 1 to 10, with the Great Depression being the 10, he sees this current situation as a 3 or 4. Now, am I trying to say that there is no problem? That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that it is being blown out of proportion. Fear is being instilled in the hearts of people. And again, I can't really blame an unbeliever because they don't have God to rely on. They don't have promises that God is going to supply all of their need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. They don't have promises that, man, if you have sown, that God is going to cause you to reap a hundredfold. They don't have the same problems, promises that we have. And so, therefore, I could understand to a degree the unbeliever's reaction. But, brothers and sisters, it is really bothering me the way that Christians are falling apart like a $2 suitcase, buying in to the amplification, the exaggeration, the overstatement about these problems. And there are people that are just pushing the panic button. And I know that there's some people watching the program right now saying, well, you know, it doesn't hurt to overstate a problem. If nothing else, it's going to make people more cautious. And sometimes, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. That's the attitude a lot of people have. But it does make a difference. I guarantee you, if you instill fear in a person's heart, I'm going to be talking about this in much more detail as we go through this series. But fear and faith are opposites. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear looking at all of the things that are happening here on this earth. And I tell you, it does matter. There are people that are dying because of fear. There are people that are making foolish decisions because of fear. There is a lot of strife in marriages and in homes because of fear, not over reality. Those people don't have a problem right now, but they are so fearful that they are anticipating problems. There are people that are canceling their trips and vacations and doing things, and industries are suffering, service industries. And we're going to see the financial collapse of some of the major industries because of the panic that is going, ripple effect throughout the economy. It does make a difference what people believe. And I tell you, it's not just enough to say, well, it doesn't hurt, you know, just overstate it and whatever, better safe than sorry. No, that's not true. A Christian should not be operating in fear. Now, there may be people watching this program who aren't truly born again, and you're just flipping through and you're wondering what this weirdo has to, you know, from a Christian perspective, what right he has to comment on anything. I can't truly influence you, but I'm telling you, as believers, if you are people that have been watching this program and if you've been receiving the truth, it's wrong for you to receive the love of God and to understand how God loves you unconditionally and to receive these truths and then just let fear come into your life because of a monetary thing and departmentalize your life and say, well, there's this Christian part of me that I'm going to trust in God. But in this financial area, you just give over to panic. That's wrong. I'm going to be sharing a lot of things with you to help put this into perspective, but you need to let not your heart be troubled. That's what Jesus told His disciples the night before His crucifixion in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. And that's what I'm telling you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Man, we've had famines before. We've had financial crisis before. We're going to get through this in God, I trust. And I'm trying to help you trust in God through this situation. You know, I've just given a brief introduction to this today. I'm going to share some more on this tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. And also, I have a brand new series out entitled In God We Trust. I think it's going to help counter the negativism that we're seeing so much today. So listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled In God We Trust is available in a two-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1059C or DVD album T1059D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help pay for the cost of this program. They're very important to us, and we thank you. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled The Sky Is Not Falling is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO21C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, it seems like a lot of people are talking about the economic crisis that we are in today, and it's a conversation piece that believers, unbelievers, everybody's talking about it. And this teaching that I've got entitled In God We Trust could be something that would not only affect you, but this could be a tremendous way of taking the peace and your faith and your confidence that you have in God and sharing it with another person. It could be an open door. You could say, well, here's a Christian perspective on the way that we view finances and the way we trust God to meet our needs. And I think it would be a tremendous help to you. So it would help you, but it would also help you to be a blessing to someone else. Please listen and please call or write today and request these materials.
You can reach us through our website, or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to thank those of you who are partners with our ministry and for the way that you've helped us to reach out. And you know, we are literally impacting about one-third of the world's population can get this program. And that's because of our partners. But you know what? There's more. There's other people that have never heard these programs. We need to increase. And I'd like to ask you to consider giving in a time of famine. Other people may be drawing back, but man, I'm stretching out. I believe it's our opportunity, and I'm going to receive 100-fold for the effort that I'm putting into this, and I'd like you to be a part of it. So we have our web address, also our phone number there. I encourage you to call and become a partner today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.